Hebrews chapter 11. Let's finish up here. That message and song will go right in line with my message from the Word of God today. He will find a way. Now listen to the verse. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking him this morning? If you seek him, and you seek him with your whole heart, you'll find him. You know why? Because he is. Amen. He is. And we thank the Lord for it. I see a couple other of our members that are back that have been in and out of the hospital. See Ashley Green. Ashley's been back in the hospital. She's out of the hospital and in church this morning. I see Jack Spinner, who's been in the hospital and church this morning. Let's thank God that God has raised them up. And we thank the Lord for that. I believe God is. Let's pray. Father, help us. And use your word to help us. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Do a work in the message. And help us to see how you see. To hear what you say. And to do what you want us to do. To unleash the unlimited power of God by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Nathaniel's out of town or tied up working today. And Jonathan Dunn fixed my lemonade. I just took a sip. If something happens to me, save the taxpayers investigation time and arrest him, all right? I guarantee you, I know what happened. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Years ago, Dad preached a message entitled, "The Just Saved People Shall Live, Sure Promise, by Faith, a Solid Principle." He's not the pastor anymore. He's not preaching that message anymore, but it's still true. It was true when he preached it then. It's true now. It was true when the writer of Hebrews wrote it, and it's been true as long as man has been living on planet Earth that God created. We will live. Now listen to me. You can breathe. You can function. You can get up every day and not please God without faith, but you can't live the abundant Christian life. You can't live a purpose-driven life. You can't live a God-pleasing life. You can't live a spirit-filled life. You can't live a godly life. You can't live a separated life. You can't live a biblically guided life. You can't live a successfully victorious Christian life. You can't live different from the world on your conscience, on your charisma, on your family background, on your genetics, on your champion inside of you, on your self-motivation. You can't live off of hymns. You can't live off of just preacher's sermons. You can't live off of going to a good church. You can't live off of being in a good marriage. If you're going to live for God, you got to do it by faith. God is going to open up our hearts and minds to great heroes of the faith who in different times, in a different day, in their own set of circumstances, lived by faith. They've helped us. In chapter 11, he's writing to these Jewish Christians who left Judaism for Jesus and were being bombarded with persecution for doing the right thing. Can I tell you, when you do right, God blesses you. But when you do right, the world doesn't like it. And while God's blessing, Satan starts messing. Somebody say amen. And this is what these Jewish Christians were facing in their lives. And no doubt they were leaning towards their emotions and their circumstances getting the best of them, like we do sometimes. Sometimes we're doing right, but what happens to us as a result of doing right makes us question whether we should keep doing right. And this is what the letter is for. It's encouraging them, keep doing right. As a matter of fact, don't just keep doing right. You do more right as you see the day approaching. And so he helps us by faith to show us how the just shall live. Faith gives us a divine word. Through by it, the elders obtain a good report. Faith gives us a definitive world. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the way, I know God made the world. You say, you don't know it. It's your opinion. Some people say evolution. Some people say Big Bang theory. Some people say creation. Anybody can believe what they want to believe. Let me tell you something. You can believe what you want to believe, but I choose to put my trust in the one who knows all, who is all, who's ever. Where, who never changes. I believe God made the world by faith. It's the credible report. Faith gives us devoted worship, able worship by faith. Faith gives us a daily walk, Enoch walk by faith. Did you walk with God this past week? I wasn't with you, but I guarantee if you pulled it off, you did it by faith. Faith gives us a dedicated work. Noah worked by faith. He built an ark because God told him to. By the way, you don't start building when it rains. For 120 years, at least it was 120 years that God gave him warning that the flood was coming. By the way, not only did God give him 120 years warning, but he gave him an ark that probably took that long to build. Is anybody listening to me? Sometimes delayed obedience is as bad as no obedience. Because if you start building too late, you won't be ready for the flood. Come on now. By the way, I said to our couples in my class, we're teaching through a home building and foundations and raising a family and teaching the children to live for God. And some of them are sitting in my class and they don't have kids. Listen to me. You don't start preparing for a godly home once you find out you're pregnant. You start preparing for a godly home when you get a home. Now, I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about a home. A house is what you buy. A home is what God builds. Listen to me. You start now before you have kids. Pray together. Before you have kids, walk with God. Before you have kids, have purity in the house. Why? By the time you have the kids, it might already be raining too late to build the ark. See, some people want to go try to make a little quick one when it starts raining. Now the clouds in the sky, let me hurry up and build an ark. That ark was too big to build in a hurry. And that flood was too big to survive without a big ark. Listen to me now. We're living in the days and age of big floods that require big arks. And big arks can only be built through proper obedience in advance. A dedicated, dedicated walk. Last week we saw faith gives us a directed withdrawal. You leave where you are and go to another place, even though you don't know where it's going to end up being, by faith. It's what Abraham did. Come on now. Abraham left the house when he didn't know where his next house was. But he didn't have to know where his house was. He had to know who his God was. Did you remember the verse say, he that believeth that God is? See, you say, what are the ingredients of faith? God is. Everybody say, God is. It has nothing to do with what you're going through. Has nothing to do with what's in the bank account. Has nothing to do with what you drive. Had nothing to do with your zip code. Had nothing to do with your side of the tracks where you were born. It has everything to do with God is. And you know what that means? I can always have faith because there's never a day when God is not. Amen. Faith gives us not only a directed withdrawal. Number seven was faith gives us a defining wonder. By faith, you have a baby at 90. Okay. I mean, y'all see that happen all the time? Some of you said, I didn't answer, Pastor, because I don't want people to think I want a baby at 90. Your issue may not be having a baby at 90, but you may be in a situation that's humanly impossible. And we'll all face them. And I'm telling you, when you're walking out of that doctor's office and he's giving you no hope, you better know that God is. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you what, when that marriage looks like there's no hope, you better know that God is. Listen to me, I'm glad that miracles didn't die at Revelation chapter 22. Amen. I'm glad that he fed the 5,000 in John 6. He walked on the water in Matthew 14. He rose from the dead in Matthew 28. He went up to heaven. Amen. He ascended into heaven. I'm glad that he did in Acts chapter 1. But I'm glad that even though the Bible was completed in the book of the Revelation, that God didn't stop living. You say, are there still miracles in 2019? Yes, there are still miracles. Why? They're still God. Faith gives us a defining wonder. We at Crossroads Baptist Church have been blessed to watch God do it. And I'm telling you what, I've been there when some of them happened. And for those of them I wasn't there, I heard the credible report. And we thank God that when we walk through tough times and we go through difficult circumstances, that when we think that there's no way out, that God makes a way out of no way. Aren't you glad that we serve God? I worry about people that wake up every day and pray to somebody like Muhammad and he's not alive, and Buddha and he's not alive, and Mary and she's not alive, and the Pope and he's a human being like the rest of us. I'm glad that when I prayed this morning, I prayed to a God, to a Savior that's alive. Amen. Some of you are standing in need of a defining wonder. I'm telling you, you need faith. Now I want to give you three more today. And I want us to hear these with intent. Faith gives us a divine word. Faith gives us a definitive world. Faith gives us a devoted worship, Abel. Faith gives us a daily walk, Enoch. Faith gives us a dedicated work, Noah. Faith gives us a directed withdrawal, Abraham. Faith gives us a defining wonder, Sarai. Faith gives us a determined willingness, Moses. Would you look back in Hebrews chapter 11 again with me? Over and over again, God says, by faith, by faith, by faith. Would you say that, by faith? Now look down, if you would, at verse number 23. It's going to tell us about his parents. Come on now. I said it's going to tell us about his parents. And they hid him. And they hid him in a little ark, that the Bible tells us, when the commandment was to kill all those boys. But they knew there was something bigger for their baby than what Pharaoh had decided. Now I want you to look at verse number 24. First two words, by faith. Say them, by faith. By faith, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, first word. Would you say it with me? Choosing. Say it again. The phrase that stands out in my mind before the word choosing is when he was come to years. Now it's amazing that this determined willingness is prefaced by choices that his parents made. But there came a time in Moses' life where, as the just, he had to live by his own faith, because how he had lived through his parents' faith had run out. They were willing to hide him when other parents weren't willing to do that, because they put their faith in God when the king had said otherwise. But the boy grew up. And when he came of years, he got grown. He had to make his own choices. And willingness to agree with God to make right choices takes faith. Sound choices. Write this down under willingness. Sound choices. Choosing rather. Did you see that word? Choosing rather. See, you have a choice at which side you're going to lean on. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now listen to me now. I wish I could tell you that every child that grows up in a Christian home, that attends a good church, that is taught a good way to live. I wish I could tell you that every single one of them grows up and serves God. I wish I could give you a guarantee that all of the children in Crossroads Baptist Church that go to children's church, Awana, youth ministry, and then in the college and career ministry, I wish I could tell you that every single one of them in this church and in every local New Testament Bible preaching, Bible leading, Bible living church would turn out right. But the truth of the matter is, all we can do is put them in a place to hear the truth. All we can do is bring them to a place where they know God. All we can do is give them the nurture and admonition. All we can do is teach them to fear God. And then there'll come a day when they have to make choices. But I want to tell you, Moses looked at life and he said, I got Pharaoh over here and I got the people of God over here. He didn't serve God because God made him. He served God because he chose to. Tell you what faith does. It cancels out bad choices. It eliminates the alternative, because the alternative is not even worth observing when you got God as a choice. Is anybody listening to me today? See, it takes faith to be willing, to be identified with the people of God. Now watch this now, choosing. He made sound choices by faith. He had suffering consequences by faith. Verse number 25, to suffer the affliction with the people of God, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now listen to me now, somebody has got to decide today that I'm going to choose to follow God even if I've got to suffer. I'm going to choose to follow God even if I lose some friends. I'm going to choose to follow God even if my peers make fun of me. I'm going to choose to follow God even if my blood relatives think I'm crazy. I'm going to choose to follow God even if my coworkers ostracize me. I'm going to choose to follow God even if people that I love laugh at me. I'm going to choose to follow God even if the world doesn't embrace me. Why? Sound choices that lead to suffering consequences are girded up by spiritual consideration. Listen to the spirituality of this man called Moses, esteeming. Everybody say word esteeming. That word esteeming has the idea of reckoning, has the idea of calculating, has the idea but with coming to a credible conclusion. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. I wish somebody would hear me today. Here's what Moses concluded based on a spiritual reckoning. He said, when I look at the way of the world, it may make me more bucks. It may get me more gold. It may get me more popularity. It may get me more prestige. It may get me more prominence. When I look at God, it may bring me to a reproach. It may have me embarrassed. It may have me less popular. It may have me with less money. It may have me with less friends. He said, but when I weigh the two options and I weigh them with the barrier of faith leading to my discretion, he said, I'd rather be reproached with God than rich with the world. I wish somebody in 2019 would reckon the embarrassment of living for God more valuable than the popularity of living for the devil. And here I am. Some days, I'd like to bang my head against the wall, trying to come up with the adequate vocabulary to convince people of God, not lost people. I'm talking about people of God. You don't know what people of God are? That's all about being saved. Only way you can be saved, by grace, through faith. I'm talking about washed in the blood, redeemed from the slave market of sin, adopted into the family of God, justified like you were never a sinner, sanctified with the Holy Ghost living inside of you, sealed until the day of promise, name written down in the Lamb's book of life, inheritance incorruptible waiting for you, Jesus in heaven building a mansion for you, indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm talking about saved people who know the Lord, who've been redeemed by the Lord, trying to get them to conclude that whatever consequences serving God will bring are still better than whatever perks serving the devil claims to bring. Anybody listening to me? Now, here's why I've decided not to bang my head against the wall. Pray, cry. A preacher that won't pray and cry needs to sell cars. Now, I'm not telling you got to snot and be emotional and everybody. I'm just telling you that God pays attention to our tears. Amen. And I don't know any great man that wouldn't cry over something he loved. I've known people that will cry over a ball game and won't cry over lost souls. I'm telling you, they need to learn what spirituality is. See, whatever brings tears to your eyes is really what matters in your heart. And I'm going to tell you as a pastor, you matter in my heart. As a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, I'm telling you why I'm not going to bang my head against the wall. Because I have learned that screaming louder and sweating more profusely and coming up with better sermons and giving better illustrations and telling better jokes and printing them on sermon audio and bringing object lessons on the stage, I want to be the best preacher I can be. But that will not convince you to choose God over the world. Listen to me now. You can sit under the best preaching and listen to me. 12 men sat under the best preaching and thousands of others did in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:6:6. Many of them left from following him after the greatest preacher preached the greatest message. How could Jesus preach and people leave him? Simply for one reason: they didn't have faith. And faith is the only spiritual mechanism that will compel the child of God to choose Jesus over the devil, even when the devil seems to look better. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I didn't make that choice just because I had good parents. Now, I'll tell you what they did. They took my head and pointed it that way. Yeah. They beat my behind and then took my head. So the propensity to make the right choice was stronger in me even than it was in others. But I still had to make it. So I called a pastor last Monday. He said, "Oh man, you know you don't call to preach on Monday. We're licking our wounds and recovering from dealing with them folks." I heard a preacher just recently say, it's just common consensus that a preacher, the catchphrase among preachers is, "I quit every Monday morning." After dealing with them rascals every Sunday, one preacher said they ain't sheep, they goats. Now, I promise you, I'm not trying to sound self-righteous. I have never quit. I've never wanted to quit the ministry. I've never wanted to quit pastoring, even after dealing with a goat. You say, "Pastor, how can you spot goats?" Well, I have some of those tendencies, so I can spot them in you. But listen, even after dealing with a goat, I've never wanted to quit him. Amen. I mean, dealing with rough goats, you know. But you know, the goat has several definitions usually in sports. It could also mean the greatest of all time. That's the God that I serve, amen. But sometimes you wonder, how could you take a thirsty horse to the water and he not drink? For one reason: that horse doesn't truly believe that water will solve his thirst. Now listen to me. If you can sit under my preaching, and if my preaching is from the Bible, and you won't live for God, you have convinced yourself that living for God will not quench your thirst. Now, you've made that choice, and it will determine how your life goes. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't hear anything I preach today, you made the wrong choice. And there are a bunch of Christians that if we had time would line up behind that pulpit with the microphone loud and clear and everybody's cell phone silenced. And they would tell all of you, I wish that the choice I made now to serve God, I made a whole lot earlier. Because the lie that the devil told me that his side was better than God's side was a lie then. But I understand it. Somebody help me preach. I understand it better now. Choosing. That's why we have you in church, young people. That's why we have youth conferences and youth events and youth. We're trying to usher you to the right choice. Sound choices, suffering consequences, spiritual consideration. Notice I have written down here, separating courage. Verse 27, two words, by faith. Say them. He forsook Egypt. It takes guts to leave where you've spent your first 40 years. I hope those of us that have only known church, only known the light, listen, nobody's born saved, but some of you were as close to it as you could get. I mean, there are a whole bunch of us were coming to church 9 months before we got here. Come on. And you heard the Bible before you got out the womb. It makes sense you get saved at 4, 5, 6, 7. People say to me, how in the world did you get saved at 4? If I hadn't been so stubborn, I might have got it at 3. Bless God. I'd heard it enough. I'd been exposed to it enough. I'd seen God work in my family. I'd been raised by godly people. I'd seen the closest thing to the Lord Jesus Christ as I could possibly see. No wonder at 4 years old I got saved. I should have gotten saved. I did get saved. I'm glad I got saved. But I hope some of us who've been in this thing for as long as we can remember would never belittle the withdrawal and the willingness that people who got in this thing late have to make to serve God. Listen to me, I'm telling you, this didn't just happen to Moses. Moses made sure it happened. Some of you missed that. This didn't happen to Moses. Moses made sure, he had to choose one day. Listen, he didn't rebound from Egypt and end up on the backside of the desert. He left Egypt on purpose. He didn't get fired, he retired. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you what, he didn't want any pension. He didn't want any payment. He made up his mind, I'm not staying here, I'm going there. And the rest of Moses' life was contingent upon that choice. He made sacrificial courage, separating courage. He made up his mind, I'm not staying there. And worldliness must be met with courage. It's becoming more pervasive in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are trying to find a way to throw Jesus and the devil in the same life. It's like mixing oil and water. And I'm telling you, by faith, you have to have separating courage. By faith, he kept the Passover. He had sacrificial commitment. What Passover? Well, he had no historical notebook to gather the result of the Passover. God gave him an order. Come on. Kill the animal. Paint the blood on the post. And it is seeing the blood that will determine me to pass over. Come on. I mean, by faith. Well, what's the big deal? Well, that was the difference in all of the firstborn being killed and just the Egyptian's firstborn. Come on, listen to me now. When the death angel, when God passed through Egypt that night, when the Egyptians woke up, their firstborn were dead. When the Israelites woke up, their firstborn were living. And the only difference between what happened with the Egyptians and what happened with the Israelites was the Passover. And when God showed up in Moses' life and said to him, kill an animal, paint it on the post, and establish something that God would have with his people. Let me tell you something. Moses could only follow that order by faith, and it saved not only his own, but it saved the children of an entire people. And by the way, there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And whether you believe it or not, there are going to be two judgments. One's going to be the great white throne for lost people. One's going to be the judgment seat of Christ for saved people. Don't you believe it? Everybody's telling you everybody ain't going to heaven, and we're not all God's children. Some are going up and some are going down. And the same thing he was looking for in Exodus, he's looking for now. When he sees the blood, he'll pass over. What a choice. And because of that sacrificial commitment, God gave him a supernatural conveyance. Verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. What a verse. Look what faith did for Moses. Faith got him walking across a place where a body of water once filled. That was a miracle. The fact that that Red Sea parted was a miracle. The fact that it parted and the ground that it was just on was dry was a miracle. The fact that approximately 1.5 million and 2 million Jews walked across that body was a miracle. But I want to tell you what was even the greater miracle. When the people behind them tried to do the same thing, they died. This is a miracle. That's faith. Here's what Moses must have concluded. If I had stayed over there in Egypt, I'd have never seen that Red Sea part. Here, I want to talk to all of you Christians in the building that spend some time during the week wondering, should I really serve God? Can I ask you a question? Would you see what you see working for the devil like you see serving God? When you come to church and God shows up and you sense his presence and his presence transforms your life, can I ask you a question? Does that ever happen to you in the club? Cash question, when you were running the streets and drinking alcohol and doing drugs and living a life of sin, could you ever sing for every mountain he brought me over? For every valley he's seen me through? You go home this afternoon, sir, and when you get home, look at your wife. Look at your kids. Living for the devil. Would you be able at 1:30 to say, we went to church together. While I was hearing the Bible, my kids were hearing the Bible, and we can come back home in the afternoon and all of us can talk about the Bible. Would you get that in Egypt? Would you find your godly woman in Egypt? Oh, you can find a woman. That don't mean nothing. But you ain't gonna find one look like Proverbs 31. Egypt don't sell them. Egypt don't manufacture them. Egypt don't even know what they are. Amen. And by the way, I've learned some people that got married in Egypt and ended up in Israel, and now they're trying to figure out how to get all that Egyptianish out of their marriage. Come on. I know families in this church who raised some kids in Egypt, got saved, and now they're raising some of their other kids in Israel, and they'll tell you, raising them in Israel and raising them in Egypt. Hey, somebody help me preach. That's why they're trying to tell you teenagers, don't you live in a house where you got Egyptian kids and Israelite kids and you're trying to merge them over here, and while you're trying to merge Egypt to Israel, sometimes you merge Israel to Egypt. Those Jews walked across that Red Sea on dry ground. They must have been thinking, well, I'm glad Moses listened to God. They weren't there because they did. And they'd been fussing and complaining and arguing. But Moses got a word from God. And it let him see supernatural things that, listen to me now. God put darkness all over the land in the Egyptians. Now watch this now. Israel was living in the same proximity. Now watch this now. God was so good that he made it dark where Egypt lived and light, somebody help me. And light, listen. Do you see what the verse said? They walked across on dry ground and when, listen to me, and when the Egyptians assayed, S-A-S-S-A-Y-E-D, same word that it used when David put on Saul's armor and he assayed to do it. In other words, Saul's armor was too heavy for David, so he's probably kind of walking like this. Here's what he's thinking. It worked for Saul, but it doesn't work for me. That's what Egypt was thinking. How they walk across and we can't walk across. And there are people in this world, they look at us, they come to church and go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody can do that. They leave church and go home and go, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And they find out that shouting ain't living the Christian life. I'm all for shouting, but it takes more to live in the Christian life than just saying amen. You try to listen to me. And some of you in this building trying to copy Christians, walk where they walk and see miracles that they see. Listen to me. You don't get the Christian benefits by copying Christians. You get Christian benefits by trusting Almighty God. And so many people tried to cross the body of water without faith. The other ones got across and the same people following them drowned. And that's why kids of godly parents drown in the same spot where their parents walked. Because they think, because my last name is such and such, I can go strutting on. Mama them walk cross. I'm going walking on cross too. Mama walk, daddy walk. Let me tell you, you'll find out that thing will close up while you in it. That wasn't a short walk. That's a big body of water. Come on. You can't get what other Christians get unless you pay what they pay. Amen. You may like polo, but you might have to stick with Polo Association. You might like Ralph Lauren, but Ralph Lauren costs different than USPA. Both of them got a horse on them, but they ain't the same horse. And I've met some people that looked at me and said, ooh, I like your shirt. I got the same one. And I wanted to say to them, no, you don't. But I ain't had the nerve to tell them. Just a proud walk out to walk the jacket like this. Got four letters underneath it. USPA. Proud as a peacock. You like my horse? No. Now you can buy two shirts with a horse on them. But I'm going to promise you, the one with Ralph Lauren going to cost different than that other horse. Now you weigh the one, but you can't expect to get name brand over generic if you want to keep paying generic prices. And I, for one, am sick and tired of Christian people that want the perks of Christianity with the price tag of carnality. If you want to live the way godly people live, then live the way godly people live. Stop coming up here with that cheap budget, wanting expensive stuff. Come on. Well, Pastor, I think that's kind of rude. It ain't rude. I had to come to grips with it myself. I grew up watching people with name brand Christianity, and I found out they didn't get it for being cute. They got it for being Christian. And when I came of age, I had to make some choices. And I found out it cost me some valuable relationships. None of them that God didn't replace with better relationships. Some people walked away, but as they were walking away, others showed up. And you ain't never said goodbye to somebody for the cause of Christ that God won't make somebody better say hello to you for. Good. goodbye, hello. Sometimes it happens in the same day. Delete, add, holla, hello, bye-bye, good morning. Sometimes he doesn't do it right away. Come on, some of you going, Pastor, I said bye-bye about 3 years ago. I ain't said hello yet. Galatians 6:9, in due season, we shall reap if you faint not. That's why the Christian life ain't just about saying bye-bye at the altar. It's about saying bye-bye on Monday morning like you said on Sunday at the altar. Some of you going to make some decisions in a few minutes. Yes, I'm going to follow the Lord, and it's real conducive to make them now. But tomorrow morning, without a church, without a choir, without an altar, without a sermon, you have to make the decision by yourself. Say bye-bye to the devil Monday by yourself like you said it on Sunday with the beloved. How, Pastor? By faith. By faith. I'm fin to finish. Fin to finish. Daddy, the kids said, Daddy, you kind of talk a little country sometimes. Whatever. Country folk make some good sense sometimes. Determined willingness. I need to hurry. Distinct warfare. There's others in here that we could hit, but I just want to jump down to 30. Joshua. The walls fell. Now let's not forget that this great story in Joshua that involved a city's formidable walls that fell down happened in an undeniable stage of warfare. Write this down. Distinct warfare happens by faith. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you ain't heard nothing I said, we are living in spiritual warfare. These walls are too high in which we raise our kids to think we're just going to knock them down with our feet. Distinct warfare. Let me hurry. There was a sizable opposition. There was no way Israel could beat Jericho. Jericho was the favorite. Sizable opposition demanded strategic operation. Of course, Pastor. If you're facing an opponent that's way bigger than you, you're going to have to come up with a good strategy to defeat that opponent, because doing things the regular way are not going to work when you're outmatched. Does anybody agree with that? Of course. So Israel looks and approaches Jericho and goes, whoa, those walls are huge. If we're going to beat them, we're going to have to come up with a real serious game plan. So they're sitting in the mess hall, eating lunch, talking at the table. This is just conjecture. This didn't really happen. I'm just painting a picture. I'm just picturing the boys sitting at the table, men, soldiers. Whew. I wonder what strategy coach going to come up for this one. We ain't never seen nobody like Jericho. You ain't lying, man. Have you looked at them walls? Huge. How in the world are we going to beat them? Nobody beats them. I know. Joshua better have a good game plan for this one. And here comes Joshua. All right, everybody, gather around. I've got a strategy for Jericho. And boys sitting back, oh, I want to hear this. This is going to be a good one right here. Oh, Joshua must have got a real good plan. I know he does. Joshua, Bill Belichick, right? Isn't that what he does? Find a way to beat better teams? Because he just has a good game plan. So here they go. Oh, here come Coach Joshua. What you got? Okay, here's what we're going to do. You see those big old walls in Jericho? Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. We ready. We got the cannons. We got the swords. Oh, yeah, you give us the word, Coach, and we're going at it. Here's the word. March and don't say nothing. I imagine they looking at somebody nudging you. You ever hear somebody say something but you can't say anything about it, so you nudge underneath the table? I'd be going out to dinner sometime. My wife would be going out to dinner with somebody and somebody say something, I'd be nudging her. She'd be squeezing me. And then the crazier they sound, the harder I nudge. You know what that nudge mean? I can't wait till we get in the car. Because this man crazy, and I can't wait to tell you how crazy he is. Because I know, baby, you thinking the same thing. I guarantee there was some nudging underneath the table. Or this one. My wife always say, honey, do not talk like that. When you talk like that, people know that you're talking about them. When you do your mouth like that, they're looking over there and they're saying, I know he's talking about me. And I'll be saying, I know, honey, but they don't know what I'm saying. So let them keep wondering, because I'm telling you right now, this is the nastiest food out here. Lord, does it taste like this? Do they have any salt in this house? She be smiling. She says, stop talking like that. I said, even though your face look different than mine, they know you're talking about on time. I imagine around the table, somebody go, did he say Mark? I could have sworn he said Mark. And he said, Mark and don't say nothing. Somebody said, I don't know what got into Joshua's mind. But does he really think we're going to beat Joshua? Joshua was probably so in tune with God, he probably said, I see y'all with your mouth all bunched up. This was warfare that could not be won through human intervention. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe me, believe God. Some of you are in some battles that are unequivocally spiritual. You're coming up with all these human techniques to win spiritual warfare. You're wasting your time. There's only one thing you're going to be able to do when you're faced with sizable opposition. Amen. And strategic operations. Here's what you're going to have to do. Sustained obedience. 7 days. Now, I'm going to get on somebody's nerves right now, but I'm going to say it anyway. Some of you Christians can't win warfare because you talk too much instead of march. You run in your mouth, this don't work right, and my problem's so big. You done told 18,000 people why you can't win, and you have used up all your energy running your mouth. You don't have any energy to march and obey God. Sometimes you're going to win the battle not by blabbing to everybody. You're going to win the battle by obeying God. And what a blessing it was on that last day when God said, this time march, but march and shout. Shout for what? Shout for the victory. Why? It just happened? No. Shout it into happening. Because you believe if you obey God, God will come through. I could preach a whole message on this. I'm not. But some of you are going to have to determine to go home and start obeying God's operation quietly. It's the only way to have a successful outcome. Lastly, number 10, by faith you have a destined win. Trying consequences will bring about triumphant conclusions when you will live with tireless conviction. Look at the verse 39. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Look at the verse 35. Women received their dead to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better. How do you get burned at the stake silently? Because they know that dead body is going to be called back to life one day. Others had trial of mockings and scourging, bonds of imprisonment. 37, stoned, sawn asunder. Some people were cut in half. 37, tempted. Others slain with the sword. Others wandered in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. All of them, they went, if you would, through trying consequences, but they enjoyed triumphant conclusions. conclusion for one reason. They live with tireless conviction. You will beat the consequences. You will have a great conclusion if you will live by conviction. And there's no way around it. We may not be getting sawn asunder and thrown out into the lions, but there are a whole bunch of people right now that are going through it. And I promise you, you will not get out of it except by faith. The just shall live by faith. How you living? Father, help us. Where are you today? You going through something? You facing something? Pastor, I'm in warfare. I bet. There's only one way around it. By faith. You're going to have to march and shout because God said so. You got to march and be silent because God said so. Pastor, I know I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I'm saved by faith. God bless you. All over the building. You may put your hands down. Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm going through something in my life that God has reminded me I must win by faith. God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand? I'm trusting God to bring me through. If he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, if he can move mountains and calm the storm-tossed wave, if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll find a way. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand long enough for me to see it. Thank you. I see the hand right here. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died. Did I go to heaven? I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Stand together. With the people of God, God's spoken to you. Would you stand? All over the building. All over the building. Mind the Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you help us. Speak to hearts. And I pray, God, that you will remind us by faith. We can live for you. In Jesus' name.